Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to our virtual gathering, whereby we foster a sense of community and inclusiveness. This is the now established online gathering, online ministry, where your messenger today is Apostle W. J. Armstrong, and whereby we invite you to join us in our discussion once the message is presented. And this ministry will be focusing on earthly kingdom living. Kingdom living on this earth. Not heavenly kingdom living, but earthly kingdom living. Whereby we will be emphasizing the rights and promises bestowed upon the body of Christ. And as I said, you who are listening, you'll be able to participate with us in this ministry. Therefore, we encourage you to reflect on your role and your identity within the kingdom. We will entertain comments and questions towards the end. And how do you see yourself in relationship to your faith and citizenship in the kingdom of Elohim? This is a nurturing environment for spiritual growth and fellowship. This is a safe place where no question or no comment is not received in a way that it embraces you and it. Again, welcome. And this is a virtual gathering. And as I said, it fosters a sense of community, a virtual sense of community, because we are not sitting there able to eyeball each other in terms of the physical. Let us pray. Almighty Everlasting Creator, we come to you saying thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in your service, to have been called and chosen by you for a time as this. We thank you and we praise you. And we trust and pray that the Holy Spirit has gone ahead of us, and that Holy Spirit is leading people into all truth. And Father, we give you thanks and praise. This is your beloved Son, the Messiah, did in the book of John. We thank you in the name of the Messiah. Amen. Bear with me today. I'm sort of in a hurry, and I need to just slow down. And what will be, will be. Our title today is Faith Beyond the Grave, Finding Strength in the Face of Death. And you say, now what authority, your authority, how do you face it? Have you thought about it? Is it frightening to you? Are you able to find peace in it? I share my experience up front, and then we're going to get into this. Because we're gathering here as a community of believers, as well as individuals confronting the ultimate truth of mortality. Death is a subject that often brings discomfort, fear, and uncertainty. However, as people of faith, we are called to approach death with a different perspective, a perspective rooted in our unwavering trust in the divine. My experience with death, I've had a couple of incidents where I've faced death. One, when I was 16, I had an electrical accident that killed my uncle. It burned him from waist down and left me with both hands burned and a heel burnt. And I can't recall what I did in those last seconds when that happened. The second one was in 1977 when I crashed the airplane. I was by myself. I was at left DWI Airport in Baltimore, Maryland. And that day, it's very interesting that the accident happened the same way in my dream. On different ones in my dream, my wife was with me in the dream, but I was by myself on the day that I crashed. And it was because I didn't have experience in crosswind landing. So I couldn't pull off on a cloud. Therefore, I had to figure out how to get down. And as I was landing, I saw that I was off the runway and well, not completely off, but it was blown into one side of it. And I stalled the plane whenever I prevented Seth from meeting my ultimate end. There was a bunch of trees at the end of the runway. If I would hit that, that meant sure death. So as I was crashing, I remember. So one time I remember, I said, uh-oh. Very calm, didn't panic, and I said, my wife will be a widow. And I proceeded to meet the tarmac. And that was the end of that. But I walked out of the plane with some bruises and scars. But that's how I think about that now. Why did I scream? Why did I holler? Why did I panic? I saw the end. I knew I was dying. I knew that this form of life was changing life as I know it. And at that time, as I knew it, it would be changed. So, strength in the face of death. Finding strength in the face of death. Of faith beyond the grave. And I sat with my wife as she passed, and my buddy, who I said was a brother by another parent, and we went back to 62 up to present, and as he was going through his transition, I sit there with him, and one time we had a conversation about the Creator, and we just talked about it. We shared experiences as what we believed, and it sort of helped him, I think, as we talked about it, and the transition that took place for me from being one of those persons that was straddled on the fence, agnostic, to one that now have embraced the Creator. Now, let's deal with, I said faith beyond the grave, and faith to face your mortality. Now, if we go to Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, faith beyond the grave. What do you hope that will take place beyond the grave? And it will be something that's different from what we are today and what we've been going through. And where is the strength in that? Are you able to see something that will draw you and that will give you peace? So let's move on with the message, and so that we will have time to have a discussion. And now next week, we will come back and deal with death. Not from animal forms, and a form of animals. We're going to deal with that from former institutions because everything has a life cycle. But most of the time we talk about death, we're talking about from an individual's point of view. So what we say is that in moments when death bears us in the faith, our faith become more than just a set of beliefs. And mind is. It's what anchored me as I was crashing. And that's where I had a source of courage. I mean, don't ask me to explain it. I can't explain it. But my faith in the Creator and the one that created me, that knitted me together when I was in my mother's womb, that became my anchor. And as a result of that anchor, I had a point of reference that I could reach to, and it gave me the courage to go on. So, you know, it's during these times whenever that was during that time with me that my faith was tested. And it's the same with anyone. During that time, your faith will be tested. And the question will we succumb to fear and despair, or will we rise above it, embracing the promise of eternity? Well, I didn't think about living in eternity, going into heaven, or anything like that. I just said, oh, my wife will be a widow. And years ago, I come to an understanding that death was just a door to another form of life. And maybe that's what sustained me. And what that form of life looked like or is, I couldn't tell you. I know that for me, death is not terminal. It's not the end. I preached a couple sermons about Judgment Day back in the early 90s. My thing was that every decision that you make and that I make, it's Judgment Day, because that's how we responded and what came out of our mouths and how we dealt with humans and our relationships. That's going to determine what our eternal life is going to be like. And one of the most profound examples of faith in the face of death, guess what? It's found in the story of the Messiah as he approached his crucifixion, which is what people just went through in the last week or so. And he faced death. He faced suffering. He faced all of that which we humans now try to avoid. Well, what did he say to the one who sent him? He was reminded. He remained steadfast in his trust in the Creator plan or purpose for his life. He said, he asked the Father, let this pass from him. But he said in his next breath, not his will, but thy will be done. So he faced death. And for whatever he saw in that which he faced, he was at peace with it. He was able to go on. He was able to affirm his purpose for the Father sending him here. And then in his final words, what did he say? He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. Think about it. Man didn't take his life. He gave it up. He gave his spirit back to the one that gave it to him. And then to him, he gave his spirit back to the Father. That to me was faith. That's what faith looked like. Even in death, he saw it, and he was comfortable with it. if we walk through and face our own mortality, we should have unwavering trust. Trust. Faith. Trust. And the Creator, the one that created us. Because we are reminded that death is not the end. Not the end. It's a transition. It's a passage from this life to the next. As the Apostle Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. And we go and we say our faith assures us that death is merely a doorway to eternal life in the presence of Elohim, our Creator. I mean, he hasn't given up on us. He has not given up on us. We have given up on him. But he has not given up on us. So how do we maintain such a faith when we are confronted with the reality of death? We have to have a relationship, a deep personal relationship with the Creator. And what is that relationship? It has to be built on what? There has to be something, somebody, some being that we trust. And let's just take a moment here. You got a call. I got a call. All God's people got a call. Are we waiting on public transportation? Put our trust and our faith in that transportation, that vehicle that's going to transport us from A to B. That's faith. When I get up and I go out in the parking lot, put my key in my ignition, I don't sit down and pray and wonder and agonize on whether it's going to stop. I put the key in the ignition and turn the switch and call it start. Trust. That's trust. And surrender. We have to surrender ourselves. Surrender who we are. We have to give up the struggle. Because see, when you're in the world, you're struggling against the Creator. You're giving it up. You're surrendering to him. And when you do that, you are covered by him. By the Creator. So you say, now how do you get there? Mine came through, like those who've gone before me, prayer. You develop a prayer life. You pray, not call words, not praying for 5-6 hours, making a whole lot of noise and meaning nothing. You pray. You recognize, like our Lord and Savior taught us, Abba Father. Made a distinction. Abba Father. What? Who art? Where? In heaven. He give you a specific name and a specific place. Who art in heaven. And whenever we begin to meditate and reflect on that, just that part of the prayer, that tells us that there is a being greater than ourselves, that there's a being greater than any human father. And how do we know about this father? The scripture. His words. And whenever I meditated on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, maybe 1 and 2 for a solid year, in the beginning. I will put a period there and sit with that and see what the Holy Spirit is saying about the beginning. And then in the beginning, God. At that time, I wasn't using the Hebrew name. So now in the beginning, Elohim, period. So, and I processed that by thinking about it, thinking it through, sitting with it for a week or more, and see what it said to me about the beginning and about Elohim. And that's where your faith began to develop. You began to reflect on it, and it strengthened our connection to God. And as our connection to God is strengthened, what do we do? We find peace. Peace. We find peace that passes all understanding. That's found in Proverbs. Because that peace is the peace of shalom. Shalom, peace. And assurance in his promises. And we have to read the scripture. We have to read the word. And I'm being facetious now, not that I hold a book that ex-president is now selling. But whatever your holy book is that defines, that helps you develop your relationship with the one that created you. And we find strength in community. In the community. In community, we call it the beloved community, where believers come together and share. Just as we gather together here today. And even though it's virtual, we're still here. We're still all in a relationship, not only with the Creator, but our fellow believers. Not only those of you who call in, but also those of you who listen about computing. What does that say? That says we're not walking alone. We're not walking by ourselves. We are one. In times of grief and in times of loss, we're there for each other. People were there for me. So, because people were there for me, I was there for them, for others. Not only being the pastor, but when my wife passed, I was not looking at a pastor. I was on the other side of the desk at that time where people were ministering to me, our brothers and sisters in the faith will sit with us and will be praying with us, praying for us, fellowship and sharing a meal with us, support, encouragement, and companionship. One of the things that I was told, you have to begin to make new memories. Huh? And that call took me back to Isaiah 42:18-19. The Creator says, what? About our, don't dwell on former things. He's doing an old thing, a new way. Do you not perceive it? He never abandons us. And our friends and our colleagues and our members of the faith, they don't abandon us either. Even whenever it's the darkest moment or the lightest moment. People say the darkest moment, which makes it death sound like it's bad. It could be the lightest moment where the transition is taking place. a transition has taken place. That's why we should be supporting. That's how we should be undergirding each other. We should flip the switch now, y'all. We're talking about how bad death is. And if I look at my buddy who just passed, we had a service of remembrance and thanking the Creator for placing him in our midst for all those years. We felt empowered. It was a joyful situation. It was a joyful going home service, if one want to call it that. There was no tears. There was laughter. There was reminiscing about things that happened. And as I saw him in pain because of the type of illness he had, I saw the expression on his face whenever so often the pain would occur. So my thing was that it was good. The transition took place. Our faith empowered us to confront death with hope rather than despair. It's like one of my other buddies who passed years ago. He only went to church on his mother's birthday and probably holidays. But he had heart problems. And he told me, he said, man, he said, they didn't bring me back. He said, I was sent back because I have something I have to do. And at that time, I didn't have the strength or the courage to ask the person, what is it you have to do? And then at the time when his time came, he told his family that he had to go. The story is that his daughter was trying to get him to stay. He told her he had to go because he had to help with Armageddon. And he transitioned right on out of here, peaceful. We know whenever that happened, when we see that, and it's like my buddy, he went peaceful and safe. We believe in a God who conquered death. And who has promised us eternal life for all of us who believe on him. And if you want to say this is the hope that's transcends, I like to say this is the faith that transcends the limitation of our earthly existence, providing comfort and assurance that death is not the end, but the beginning. New beginning. I got to use that in another way that I hadn't thought about. A new beginning. It's all part of God's plan. As we reflect on the reality of death and the role of faith in facing it, let us be reminded of the words of Jesus. What did he say? Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I used to hear that all the time at funerals, John 14, verse 1. May we hold fast to our faith, even in the face of death, knowing that through the Messiah, we have victory. Victory over the grave. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to the Creator for this time of sharing. And after we will have a discussion, we will have prayer, and that we will go into the earth, into the world, and begin to share that peace that we find in the face of death. Let me open the mic. All right, I am back. Any comments, observations? Good evening.
Good evening, Apostle Armstrong.
Yes.
I really can't comment any more than say I agree with everything you said. As one also who have faced death, I too have faced death. And as you were talking, I was contemplating, I was thinking about, was I prepared in such a way as to go to transition out of here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think at that moment I was. I believe that, and I strongly believe that God brought me back here, Elohim, the creator, brought me back because I had more to do. He had more for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I should, or when I should, not if I should, because it is going to happen, when I face death this time, I believe that I will do it with an assurance of expectation of peace.
Uh-huh.
That it's finalized. I have done what Elohim has called me to do, and I have peace when I go to meet my Creator, that I will go with all, like you said, all peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's how I look at it now, facing death. Not saying when I get to that moment, oh, I'm not ready to go, or there's more for me to do. I believe that I will have accomplished all that the Creator has called me to do, or set me back actually to do, because I do believe He did send me back from death to finish what He purposed me to do.
Hmm. You know, and you caused me to take a moment and reflect on what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are sent back, and one of my friends that I grew up with, her mother,
mm-hmm.
she told me, she said that she was on her way out. She was transitioning out of here. She saw
mm-hmm.
where she was going. And
mm-hmm.
again, I did not ask, but she said she saw it. But her
mm-hmm.
daughter, her oldest daughter, brought her back.
Mm.
Her oldest daughter told her that she gave her sister the strength. And she came back,
mm-hmm.
and her daughter wound up having to have a lung transplant.
Oh, geez.
And I really believe that that was what she saw, what was
mm-hmm.
going to happen. And she came back to help her daughter to prepare for that transplant. The daughter got her lung, and back then, I don't know exactly how long she lived with that new lung, But it gave her an extension on her life.
Right.
And yeah, I do believe that some people are sent back.
Go on.
Because we have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus understood that his job was finished.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was finished, he told the Father, not his will, but his will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on and transitioned on out of here. You know, strength in the face of death. That is strength.
I believe that because when the doctor woke me up and told me what happened, and I didn't accept what he said, but I accept what I know that the Creator has told me.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me life, and he's the only one that can take it away.
Take it away. That's right.
That's right. And so when I repeated that to him, as people were asking, he asked me indeed, do I remember anything? And so immediately I said, well, he wants to know, did I have an out-of-body experience?
Mm-hmm.
So no, I didn't have an out-of-body experience. What I did realize, at that moment, I didn't realize it, but it was maybe as I start thinking about it more, I felt a sense of calmness, loneliness, actually. That's the word I described it. It was a sense of loneliness. And it wasn't somewhere where it wasn't a state that I wanted to be in at that time. And I feel like I believe that the Creator didn't call me at that time because he didn't want, it's not his will, you know, for us to be uncomfortable or to be not at peace. And I don't feel it was a moment of peace. So that's why I believe it was not God's will for me to transition at that time. It was not his will for me to transition at that time. I strongly believe that, but I do know, and as I've developed a closer relationship with him now, I do believe that when I do finally reach at that point of transition again, that it will be a moment of, it'll be a time of peace.
What I went through when I was 16 was that was my doing.
Right.
That was because the television had snow. Back then we called it snow. That was a bird nest in the TV antenna, and I was going to get rid of that bird nest so I could see the Long Ranger, because at that time the Long Ranger was a thing. I grew up with the Long Ranger and Tonto and Cisco Kid and all those old cowboys, and that was one thing that I enjoyed doing after school. And I would either do my chores before Long Ranger came on, or I would watch Lone Ranger, and then I would run and do my chores because we lived on a farm. Mm-hmm. I had to feed the animals. And mm-hmm. that day I was bent on getting that bird nest out. And mm-hmm. I went up on top of the roof, and mm-hmm. I was ignorant of masonry. And I grabbed the top brick and I almost fell off the house.
Oh, geez.
So I came down, and my uncle asked me what I was doing. I told him, and I think that's one, another reason why I did not have all that grief over his passing, and that was why I was able to tell people, because it was our decision. It was mm-hmm. our decision. It's different whenever you this is me. I believe it's different when you have an accident that is not your decision than when there mm-hmm. is your decision to do something. I think the mm-hmm. Creator embraces you through that and sort of cushion you as you go through that. And I was at complete peace mm-hmm. with the fact that both hands were messed up and my heel was messed up. And mm-hmm. and I didn't get jumping up and down screaming and hollering. And then mm-hmm. when it would come time, I wanted the amputation. Because I was young, they was trying to save two of my fingers, my thumb mm-hmm. and my little finger. But mm-hmm. it was just gone. And I was mm-hmm. elated whenever they amputated my hand. And because mm-hmm. if they hadn't, I would have died from gangrene.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. so you know, we face situations and circumstances that not necessarily a death sentence, I guess you can call it that, but it is more or less fall in that category of an accident, something happens, mm-hmm. and you are able to work through it or walk out of it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to it being terminal.
I think it's also, it's God's grace. He's extended more grace, you know, abundant
yeah.
grace to us. And like you said, I looked at it that way also when amputation after amputation. And then the ultimate was when my heart stopped. And so even with the facing of the amputation, I didn't perceive death coming. But when the heart stopped, it was like, well, and I come back. Not on mm-hmm. my own, not on my own, but on the Creator's command.
Right.
So I look at that as God is Him extending more grace to me
mm-hmm.
to do His will, not to do my mm-hmm. will, but to do His will.
His will. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well. I'm not sure program. What time it is, but the program comes on after me.
Uh-huh.
And those of you who are listening, the program, we used to come on at 5. Because of daylight saving time, I moved it back to 7. So starting this week is the first one, and we probably going to be every other Saturday until daylight saving time is over with.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't be here next week, but week after that. And the next, we're going to continue this. And
okay.
Only different this time, we're going to talk about it from institution. We're going to talk about institution dying, institution transitioning, the education institution, medical institution, and the whole constitution, how nations dies as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to dwell into all that. Like I said in the beginning, so many times we only look at death and dying and from an animal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And everything dies. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything transitions. Everything goes through a process.
Mm-hmm.
And just like now. Now, when we look at what's going on in this country, mm-hmm. we see that a transition is taking place.
Yes, Lord.
A transition is taking place. Now, in that transition time, what is the role of the people and how do people impact the transition? So those will be some of the issues that we will address next week. And with the same understanding now, the Creator created government. Mm-hmm. And the man didn't create government.
Yes,
the Creator created government. All right. Let us pray. Somebody is calling. All right, let us pray. If you have a prayer request, you want to raise it now. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gift of faith. For it was you that gave us our first bit of faith. And we have taken that faith that you gave us and expanding it by studying your words, by believing on you. And our faith has grown. And we thank you. And our faith has sustained us through our trials and tribulation, and our faith even has sustained us in the presence of death. I just thank you, Father. And when I say the presence of death, it's even sitting with others and watching their transition and comforting them and helping them to connect and to be at peace. I know even with my wife, my thing was I prayed and I asked for a peaceful transition for her. And that's what happened, Father. And I just thank you. Thank you for that strength, that courage of us delivering as we face other people transition out of here. And we have been able to overcome that grief with the assurance that people have eternal life through the Messiah. Now, Father, we say eternal life. We don't go because we know that you said that the earth was ours and heaven is yours. You know, we know that you said that your son is the ultimate judge and that judge will determine where we will wind up. And that is the level of faith that we have. And we just thank you and praise you. In the name of the Messiah, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. Shalom to a couple of weeks from now.
Shalom.